Hilary Finch, you've chosen a song recital as one of your favourite newcomers as well. I think I can say this one's rather different and ranges surprisingly widely.
Yes, it's a double CD. The latest offering from the German tenor Christoph Prégardien and his accompanist Michael Geiss. And it goes from Bach to Wolf in two CDs. But specifically, it moves, as the title goes, between life and death. These are songs which take us from the experience of the full life force into what it can be like to either welcome or be angered by or reject death. And you'll hear the quality of the performances straight away in the extracts we play. But what I think is so wonderful is the sequencing. It's a revelatory programme on both discs. There can be, for example, Schubert's songs about young people and death, leading into an elegy by Hugo Wolf on the poet, the young poet Anacreon, Anacreon's Grab, one leading effortlessly into another. And then something quite dramatic and surprising, Carl Loewe's setting of the spooky Scottish ballad Edward. Edward, who kills his hawk, kills his horse, and then kills his father, leading straight into Weber's, Freischütz, Max's spooky aria, where he sort of feels the whole world is, the darkness and foreboding is closing him in.
And one of the most daring juxtapositions is the very first one, isn't it, which we're going to hear.
Exactly. This is both daring and wonderfully inevitable, it sounds. Bach's Komm süßer Tod, sacred aria about sweet death coming, welcoming death, radiating out into Mahler's Urlicht, primeval light, from the Second Symphony. And here, it's the piano version that we hear. I think it's a wonderful piano, representation of what we usually hear in an orchestra. And Prégardien's way of singing it is not that sort of angst-filled mezzo that we so often hear. Just listen to the simplicity with which he sings it. But first of all, Bach, Komm süßer Tod.
Urlicht, Gustav Mahler's primal light, as also heard in his Resurrection Symphony, sung there by Christoph Prégardien with pianist Michael Geiss, I beg his pardon, and perhaps not as startling a juxtaposition with Bach's Come Sweet Death as you might have imagined, Simon Hayes. What did you think of that? It felt so natural.
Yes, it was completely natural, and it almost felt rather wicked, actually, when I first heard that. I couldn't believe that I hadn't noticed the elision at that point, and it's moved, you know, on a century or two. But, you know, I felt this was one of those recitals you simply cannot put on in the background. This is for one of those evenings you've got to sit down with the text, I mean, you really have to, with your reading glasses, sit and really contemplate with a glass of wine. Maybe make that too. It's very Germanic, this sort of introspection, isn't it, Hilary?
Yes, I suppose it is. Although we're going to come on and see other countries that can be introspective as well. But I take your point.
But Rob, could you have listened to this at a single stretch? Because I mean, it's rich, it's focused, it's concentrated. It does split into pretty much two halves over the two discs, doesn't it? Because part one ends with the question, does no God exist? And part two fails to find an answer, really, but ends with Mahler anyway. How did you listen to this?
I listened to it straight through, and I take your point about those. I unfortunately lost my father earlier this year, so I'm very much in this sort of ballpark as far as thinking is concerned. And I found it comforting. It was a wonderful experience confronting this attitude towards life and death as seen through or heard through the ears of these various composers. And another wonderful thing, apart from the beautiful sound of the piano, so realistic, it's very close, but it really does sound, especially in this studio and at home, as if the piano is in your room. And the balance with Prégardien is marvellous. And also, Michael Geiss makes the piano sing in a way that I've rarely heard other accompanists do. But the thing that really struck me was the context within which Hugo Wolf's songs were set. Sometimes if you hear too many Wolf songs that are stretched, they can, I would say they can sound a bit samey, but the mood can be a little bit monotonous. Whereas here, contrasted with Schubert, with Mendelssohn, with Loewe, they shine in their own context as well.
Yeah, simply that little as, sort of sequence of Wolf, Mendelssohn, Loewe is
just such
gorgeous,
a beautiful piece of programming. It's lovely to hear a leader singer getting away from the Fischer-Dieskau template. Now, I adore Fischer-Dieskau, so please don't get me wrong, but this is a fully justified approach to singing leader. I think it's a classic recording,
and
Hilary,
one
that I'll return to.
If Fischer-Dieskau had been preparing a recital or anything like this, I doubt very much that Lenski's aria from Tchaikovsky's Eugen and Jaegen would have come into it. What part does it play here?
Yeah, he was never a natural Lenski. But I chose this because we haven't got any opera this morning, which is extraordinary. It just so happens. So I thought I'd put a bit in here. After a Hugo Wolf song, one of the Spanish Liederbuch, which speaks about what you have not found in life will be given to you, suddenly we're at Tchaikovsky's Lenski, asking, where, oh, where have you gone, golden days of my youth? Prigardian sings this in German, so he says, wohin, wohin seid ihr entschwunden?
Lenski, bemoaning the passing of his younger days as he contemplates the possibility of his own death in a duel. Music from Tchaikovsky's Eugen Onegin, sung by Christoph Prigardian with Mikhail Gase. For Hilary Finch, the concept behind this disc is a real winner. Songs and Arias Between Life and Death, two hybrid essay CDs, a recent release on Challenge Classics, not Channel, Challenge.